So this morning we have a special guest joining us. Joey King is on the preaching team for Overflow and will be sharing a message with us this morning. Overflow is currently in a sermon series titled Transformed. Will you join me in welcoming Joey King?
What's up, Resurrection? How are we doing this morning? Good, good. I'm good too. So I'm super excited to be here with all of you. I'm super excited to share with you guys what God's been putting on my heart. But before I really get going tonight and this morning, sorry, overflow. this morning, we're in the morning. I want to share with you guys a little bit about who I am. So I graduated from Hastings High School in 2016, and I was pretty into football, you could say. And so I was committed to UW lacrosse, and I decided not to play because God's got other stuff. So I decided to pursue ministry, and so that's what I did. I went to lacrosse for a semester, and I transferred to Northwestern. So I am now a sophomore at Northwestern in the pastoral ministry, dual degree for Master's of Divinity program. So that's kind of where I'm at with school. As far as ministry, Julie said I preach at Overflow pretty regularly, and I was on staff. I went on staff at Crossroads Church Hastings in May, and then I went off staff there, and now I'm work for Crossroads Church in Woodbury. So it's the same church, just a different campus. I'm working with their youth right now, so that's been really awesome. And I grew up, or I didn't grow up, but I came into this ministry when I was in about 10th grade, and it's Overflow is super awesome. And so if you ever like, I don't know if I want to give to Overflow, you should give to Overflow, because we need money to do ministry. So as I was preparing this message, I was kind of thinking through it, and I came to this realization, well, maybe this message isn't for everyone. And sometimes it's kind of hard to come up with a message that is for every single person. So if this message doesn't apply to you, sorry. So what we're going to be talking about is our past. So Jesus, we're glad you're here, but for the honest people here, we all struggle with our past. That's something that we all deal with. We struggle with our past. There's something in our lives that every single one of us look at in our past and say, wow, that really hurt. Wow, that situation, that person, that thing, that really hurt me. And maybe it's something you did, or maybe it's something someone else did to you. But whatever it is for you, we all struggle with something in our past. And sometimes we feel like, God, I really wish that didn't happen. But really quick, I want to just clarify by what I mean by past. So often when we hear the word past or think about our past, we think, well, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so long ago is our past. But what I want to come to this realization that maybe that's where it is for you. Maybe 5 years or whatever was, that's where you struggle is in that past. But past also includes last night. It also includes last week, last month. It's all part of our past. And we need to move past that as well. Because when we're holding on to what we did last night or the decision we made 2 weeks ago, that's holding us back from what God wants for us. So there's this team, Minnesota Vikings. They're pretty cool. I'm a huge Vikings fan. And this team in particular have a very rough past. Like if you're a Vikings fan, you got some heart issues. Because they don't like making it easy on you. They're like, ha, 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 we're up by 17. Ha, ha, we're down by one with 10 seconds left. What are you doing? What's going on? So I just have this quick video for you guys.
Get back, guys.
Here it is. The season's on the line. Two receivers left and right. McCown takes the snap. He steps up. He's all by himself. Fires into the end zone. Touch! Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
over the middle, intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Make this field goal, the answer should probably be yes.
39 yards away. And it's not good.
It's third down. Three receivers right, Beal in the left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Oh, my God. Stay home.
That video is emotional. Like, for real, if you're a Vikings fan, like, that brings back some bad memories and then one really awesome one. So some of that, like, just thinking through the past of the Vikings. The Vikings have a past as well. And when they're in that moment, down by 1 point with 10 seconds left, they had a choice. They had a choice to either stay where they were, stay in their past, just rewrite history over and over again. Vikings choking, never winning a Super Bowl. Until this year. Come on, can I get an amen? For real, though, they had a past, and they made their decision to move past it. They made the choice to say, all right, we know what our past is. We know what people think about us, but it's time to move forward, and it's time to write our own future and write our own history. And that's what they did, and they're going to do it today. So, amen. So just like the Vikings had a past, I believe that God is calling us to move past our past. So if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is Getting Past Our Past. And so I just want to share a little bit about my past. So I was never one who really got caught up in the party scene with drugs and alcohol and sex, but I was one who got caught up in the world. I got caught up in what others thought of me. I got caught up in sexual desires. I got caught up in thinking that I had to be someone else that I wasn't, someone that I wasn't. I got caught up in pretending to be someone just because I was afraid of being rejected by everyone else. I got caught up in these things, and I let them take control of my life, and ultimately I let them take control of my past. And whatever it is for you, whatever that thing is for you, I just want to say that God's calling us past that. He's calling us past our past, and I could just stand up here and I could tell you like 20 stories of the mistakes I made, the choices I made. And I could tell you of all the failures and the regrets I had, but I don't see the benefit of that. Because when we stand up here and we're just preaching I remember when I made that decision, I made that failure, I made that mistake. When we're constantly reminding ourselves of that, we're never going to get past it. We're never going to get past our past. And I feel like so often, just because I preach a lot or I'm going to school to be a pastor, people will say, well, it's easy for you to say get past your past. You haven't been where I've been. You haven't made the mistakes I've made. You haven't gone where I've gone. You haven't seen what I've seen. You haven't been through what I've been through. And ultimately, I say, well, I still have a past. I still struggle. I still fall short. We all have that. We all fall short. And we all have pasts. So regardless of whatever your past is, whether you have this past that's really broken and really messed up and you know that, or you have this past that you've made some bad choices, you've made some okay choices, and you're just kind of in the middle, then I just want to say that regardless of what it is for you, you still have a past, and it's still time to move past that. Ultimately, God wants us to move past. That's the word for this morning, is moving past our past. And God is ready to completely set us free from that. So the question I have is, why does it matter? Simple put, why does it matter if we get past our past? Why does it matter if we just don't stay where we're at? Why does it matter? And I believe that it matters for us because if we don't step past our past, this will be so much harder to step into what God has for us in the future. If we're constantly staying where we are, if we're staying in the comfortable, staying where God doesn't want us in the past, we'll never step into the greatness of what he has for us in the future. We need to look at our past and say, yeah, that happened. I made that choice. I fell short there, but that's not who I am anymore. I am new, and I am someone else in Christ. So often we tell ourselves that our past is just part of our identity. That thing I did, that choice I made, that person I slept with, whatever it is, that thing is just part of who I am. How can I move past it? How could you stand up here and say move past it when that's just part of who I am? But I don't think that's how it has to be. I don't think that we have to look at our past and identify with it. Because that's not how God looks at our past. God isn't looking at you and saying, hey, remember when you fell short? Remember when you failed? Remember the mistake you made? Remember your mistakes? Do you remember that? That's not what God does. God never does that. In fact, Scripture says that he doesn't even remember our sins. That's amazing. That's not what God does. But who does that is the enemy. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to remember our failures, our mistakes, our regrets, the decisions we made, the people we hurt, the lies we told. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to go back to that place. And if you're like me, you hear that all the time. You hear those thoughts and those reminders in your head. Remember when you, and you're taken back, and you're like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough anymore. Because I was that person. I'd made that choice. I've been there. And the enemy wants us to think that. The enemy wants us to think that, but God is calling us past it. And God is calling us into something new. And actually, the awesome thing about God is that God loves using broken people. He loves using people that have messed up pasts. He loves using people that have fallen short, that have made huge mistakes, and he loves using people to lead others into his love. And so I just love the fact, I love that about God, that even though we fall short, he still wants to use us. Because Noah was a drunk. King David had an affair with a woman and then had her husband killed. Moses was a murderer. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Rahab was a prostitute. All these people were insanely big biblical characters, but yet that their past didn't stop God from using them. If God only used perfect people, he could only use one person. Let's be real. God uses people because we are his people. We are his people. And God loves using people that have messed up pasts. And your past isn't any different. And sometimes the enemy likes to feed us these lies. Well, we're too messed up to still be used by God. We're too messed up to still be loved by God. But that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. And you might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking, well, I used to do the whole church thing. I used to follow Jesus. I used to read my Bible. I used to do that. But now I've made some choices. I've gone some places. I've fallen short. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think I'm too messy for the church. I'm too messy for God. And again, that's a lie from the enemy. That's not what God says about you. That's not what God thinks about you. And we can choose to look past our past, and we can honestly say, I believe this is bottom of my heart, that our past can only haunt us if we allow it to. We can choose to move past it and say, no, that's not who I am anymore. I might have been that person, but that's not who I am anymore. And so there's this biblical character who did, he was so good at this. He was so good at looking past his past. He was so good at looking at himself and saying, I am a new creation. And interestingly enough, this guy had the most messed up past out of any of us here. And so this guy actually wrote most of the New Testament. If you're on the church, you probably know I'm going to be talking about Paul this morning. But if you're not familiar with the story of Paul, Paul basically, he went around, before he was changed by Jesus, he went around to churches and he found Christians, he had them arrested, and he killed them. That was his life before meeting Jesus. So his past was so messed up, like on a whole different level, like nothing in comparison to our past. So I want to look at, first I want to look at the transformation of Paul in Acts 9, and then we're going to look at how he kind of handled some of this stuff. So if you want to read along with me in Acts 9 verses 1 through 5. Meanwhile, Saul, or Paul, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, or Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So a lot of times, if you have given your life to Jesus, you probably remember when your life was changed. You probably remember that time, that instant when God completely took a hold of your life and your life was changed forever. And this is Paul's life change story. This is what happened. This is how Paul's life was changed forever. And it's so amazing, and like, this is probably like the coolest one ever. You imagine just like, what up, Jesus? But yeah, this guy, he was just walking along this road, and he hears this voice. He's like, who is this guy? And it's like, I'm the Lord of Lords, and you've been persecuting me, bro. And he's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? I thought I was doing this. I thought what I was doing was right. And then I can imagine the lies that went through his head in that instant. In that instant, when he realized that Jesus was actually the right person and he had been persecuting people for following him. I can imagine those lies that went through his head. Oh my gosh, I'm not worthy. I should just kill myself. I'm done with this. This life is not worth living. I'm so broken. I'm such a mess. I'm so messed up. My past, I'll never be able to move past it. I did that. I killed these Christians. Now I deserve to be killed. I'm not worthy of God. But if you notice, what does Jesus say to him? He doesn't look at him and say, you sinner, I'm done with you. I'm going to kill you right in this second. And he very well, he had every right to do that if he wanted to. But that's not what he did. He doesn't look at him and say that, but rather he says this. He says, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Go into the city and I will use you. Go into the city and I will use you. And you might be in that spot this morning. You might keep looking at your past, whether it was last night or it was 5 years ago. You keep looking at your past and saying, I can't get over it. That's part of who I am. I just can't move on. But Jesus is looking at you this morning and he's saying, go into the city and I will use you. Trust me, move past your past and I'll use you in ways you never would have imagined. I'm the forgiving God. I have set you free. I have made you new. You are righteous. You are my child. And I define you. Your past isn't what defines you, but it's Jesus that defines you. No matter where you've been, no matter the decisions you've made, Jesus is ready to say to you, go into the city and I'll use you. It's time to move past it. It's time to move past it. So right now, I want to look again at another piece of scripture. And this piece of scripture is a little further on in Paul's ministry. At this point, he was a very established preacher for God. People knew who he was. He was walking around. And people were like, what up, Paul? And yeah, he was just doing his thing. And people knew who he was. They knew about his past. They knew where he'd been. But this guy, everyone knew who he was. And so in this particular scripture, he's writing to the church in Corinth. If you don't know anything about the church in Corinth, this was a messed up church. Like, this church, they would have sex and get drunk during church. Whew. You guys think we got bad churches, for real. Like these guys, they were making some bad decisions. But yet, his past was brought up even in the midst of this conversation. And so he was actually writing to them about the resurrection of Jesus, but he takes a little detour here when he starts talking about his past. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God. If you notice, there's a verse right in that middle that really sticks out to me. And it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think we need to just repeat that over ourselves. By the grace of God, I am what I am. There's so much truth in that one sentence. Because of grace, I can be used by God. Because of grace, I'm loved by God. Because of grace, I can look past my past. Because of grace, I'm set free. Because of grace, I am what I am. It's all because of this grace. It's all because of this grace that we can look past our past. We can say, yeah, I went there. I was there, but I'm ready to move past it. I'm done with that. That's not who I am anymore. Like I've said 100 times this morning, we all have past. We've been through things. But it's time to look past and say, yeah, I did that. But by that grace, I can move past it. A lot of times people will ask me, Joey, what's your biggest regret? And that question is always really strange to me because on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I really wish some things didn't happen to me. You ever been through an ACL tear? Not fun. But for real, there's things in my life that I just wish didn't happen. And maybe that's for you as well. You wish it didn't happen. And that's completely understandable. And you regret something happening to you or you doing something to someone else. But on the other hand, it's like, but God used it. God used that thing in my life to teach me something or to teach someone else something or show somebody else something. And so honestly, the answer to that question is I have no regrets because God uses every single thing that's ever happened to me for his good. And we've got to come to this realization that God's purpose goes way beyond our past. You are not identified by what you have done or what you've been through, but rather who you are in him. It's time to look at God and say, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love and I accept your grace. And by that grace, I am what I am. There's things in your life that you might have prayed away. You might have looked at and said, God, just take it away. I'm so sick of that. I don't want that. That's bothering me. That person, whatever it may be, there's things in your life that you might have prayed away. But when you think about it, there's things in your life that if you would have prayed it away, God would have never been able to teach you that thing about that. And something that I've really learned this semester is I have a lot of friends in ministry and at Northwestern who were not the typical, I grew up in the church, I was a pastor's kid, go like perfect life type deal that you see a lot of times. And if they would have prayed away some of the things that happened in their life, they would never be at the point they are right now. I have this one friend whose story is so powerful. His name's Colin LeBras, and he does spoken word, which is basically poetry, and he does it for Jesus and, like, talks about Jesus in poems and stuff. It's pretty cool. You should look him up on YouTube if you're interested in that. But what he did was he went around and he partied, like, every night, got drunk, like, every night, had sex with different girls, like, every night. And this was a year ago. Mind you, this was a year ago. This wasn't like 10 years ago. His life was radically changed by Jesus in a year. And right now he's going to school to be a pastor and he's writing stuff for people and doing such amazing things. And it's so powerful to see that. And I know when other people see him, they're like, what happened to you? Jesus happened to him. Jesus, he met Jesus and he was radically changed. And if he would have prayed some of those things in his life away, if he would have prayed some of those things in his life away, he would never be where he's at right now. Because God wants to use us. He wants to use each and every one of us. But if we really want God to use us fully, we've got to stop holding on to our past. So what would it look like if this church stopped listening to the lies of the enemy? What would it look like if we stopped believing that the past can still haunt us? What would it look like if we truly moved past our past and stepped into what God had for us? What would it look like if we stopped listening to the enemy every time he reminded us, hey, remember when you fill in the blank. What would it look like for us? Because honestly, Paul had to go through this. With a past like Paul, it's really easy to bring up, hey, remember when you killed all those Christians and now you're preaching? What? Why should I listen to you? That past must have been constantly brought up to him, and he had to deal with those lies. He had to be able to move past that. And so there's a verse, again in Acts 9, this is right after his life was changed. I just want to look at it really quick. So he says in verse 20, Saul spent several days with the disciples at Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't that he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Right there, Paul had to overcome these lies. And that might be where you're at. You might be coming here and you're like, I'm trying to move past my past, but people keep bringing it up. How can I move past my past if everyone just keeps reminding me of it? If the enemy keeps putting that thought in my mind, how do you expect me to move past my past if people just keep saying, remember when you, how can I move past my past if I have to keep trying to overcome these lies? So I just want to give us two quick ways before I'm done here. Two quick ways that we can overcome these lies when the enemy says, hey, remember when you. So the first way, this way works really well if the enemy is just placing these thoughts, if you just keep getting these thoughts in your head. So this is what I would encourage you to do is the next time the enemy says, hey, remember when you fill in the blank, you say back to him, yeah, I remember it, but do you remember when Jesus put you in your place? Do you remember when he finished you for all time? Do you remember how you have no power over me? Do you remember how I am made new in Christ? Do you remember how I am righteous? Do you remember how he put you? He went to the cross and he finished you and he beat you and he rose to life. Do you remember that? Bet he won't be talking back. He's got no power. We need to walk in that authority and speak in that authority and follow God in that authority. Because truth always outweighs the lies of the enemy. He has no power over us. Ultimately, he has no power over us. And so the second way is if people keep reminding you of it, if people keep saying, hey, remember when you, then this is what I would encourage you to do. This is what I do, and it works really well for me. So what I do is I just speak truth over myself. I say, that's not who I am. I've moved past it. I'm forgiven. I am new. I am righteous. I am a child of God. I'm not that person anymore, and I am past it. So as I wrap up, I just want us to focus on that truth and focus on God and what he says about us, because it's truly time to move past our past. You pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for this space, God. I thank you that your love outweighs what we could ever deserve, God. And I thank you that even though we have messy pasts, even though we fall short, God, you love us so much. So God, I just thank you for your love. And I just ask that as we continue to worship, God, I just pray that we can just trust you and just trust that you are calling us past our past, God. You're calling us into something greater. So Lord, we trust you and we give you our lives. Jesus, we love you so much. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.